So, Father, we just thank you for this awesome time together, that we can just fellowship together and just share what you're doing in our lives, pray for each other and lift each other up and encourage each other. And we just call this night blessed, Lord. Just allow us to be a blessing to each other, be a blessing to you, and just guide and direct us tonight. We just thank you for that, Lord. And we just call everybody blessed in Jesus' name. Amen. Thank you, Lord. So, all right, let's start out, like, you know, just see first if anybody's got anything they need to pray about, any urgent needs of prayer to start off tonight.
Would you pray for that brother Michael that I mentioned earlier, brother, that snowplow man?
Well, that's fine. Why don't you go ahead and pray, and we'll agree with you.
Well, Father, this lost man that's been burnt by religion, Lord, I pray for Michael. His name is Michael Frey. I pray in Jesus' name, Lord, that the gospel would penetrate, Lord, that you would soften his heart, Lord, in Jesus' name, and that there would be, Lord God, a true work of grace, that you would command light to shine out of the darkness of his own heart and grant, Lord God, repentance to this man. I pray that you would orchestrate the circumstances of his life to bring him face to face with his own heart. And I pray in Jesus' name for dreams and visions to come upon him that would bring him face to face with the true reality of Jesus Christ. In Jesus' name.
Amen. Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Lord. I'd like to pray. We're talking with a brother today, and, you know, it's kind of a different circumstance, but he asked us to pray. But a place where he worked, there was a young lady that I guess she's living with another lady, and so it's not the, you know, the best of circumstances, but the you know, they're having you know, basically there's supernatural things going on in their house. They're having, you know, stuff moved and doors slammed and things happening. And he shared, you know, the truth about, you know, the authority of Jesus. And she said that they did open up the Bible once and start reading the Bible. And when they did that, things started flying around the house, and they decided, well, we got to get rid of this Bible. And he's like, no. He's like, you know, that's what you need to do. You know, you need to, and he says, the only way you're going to, you know, come against those things is with, you know, with Christ. And it opened the door. I don't know if he's still, you know, talking to them, but he just asked us to pray over that situation. So I thought I would, you know, lift the, I don't know these girls' names, but the Lord does. So Lord, right now we just lift them up to you, Lord. And Lord, they're living in sin. They're living in, you know, the lust of their flesh. And Father, first of all, we just pray for their salvation, Lord. And, we pray that they'll come to, you know, come to your truth and see the error that they're in, and that truth will set them free, that these seeds that have been planted about the power of Christ and the power of the Word, and that those seeds will take fruition, that they will be drawn to your Word, be drawn to truth, and be drawn into salvation. And Lord, we just right now, Lord, we just ask that you use this situation with these supernatural things that are going on in their house to open their eyes to you and draw them into your kingdom. And Lord, we just thank you for that, Lord. And we just pray, you know, just salvation for them, Lord, and that they will get your truth and the truth will set them free. And we just thank you for that in Jesus' name. Amen. All right. Anybody else?
Yes, this is Terry from Mountain Home.
Hey, Terry.
Hi. I have a prayer request for my youngest son, Jared. He moved to Florida recently. He's a medical transcriptionist, and he he moved out there because he met a girl online that lives in Florida. And so he doesn't know anybody out there. He doesn't have a car yet. He doesn't have any, you know, Christian support out there. And he's been having really bad problems with his stomach, and he doesn't have any, you know, medical insurance or anything, and he's all by himself out there. So I just want to lift him up in prayer.
Okay. Do you want to pray?
I think I'd rather have you pray, if that's okay.
Oh, that's fine. That's fine. So, Father, right now, we lift up Jared, Lord, and we just ask that, you know, he's dealing with some stomach issues. And, Lord, we just, you know, if this is you getting his attention, Lord, we just ask you just open his eyes. You give him a dream. If he's, you know, if he's running after an idol, or, you know, just running after the flesh, and you're trying to get his attention, we just ask, Lord, that you just bring that to him, Lord. You just make it clear in his life, Lord. So, Father, we just thank you for that, Lord. We just lift him up. We call your angels protection over him to keep him safe, you know, during this time. And, you know, we just pray that he keeps his eyes on you, and that he is drawn to you and not away from you. And we just thank you, and we just rebuke whatever's going on in him. If this, you know, if this is, you know, just from the enemy, we just come against that now, and we forbid it in the name of Jesus. And we just thank you for that. And we just ask that you just put it just a peace in Terry, that, you know, that she knows that you are, you know, just you've got your protection over him, and that she can rest in you. And that, you know, we just thank you for that in Jesus' name. Amen.
Thank you.
All right. Somebody else was coming in before Terry.
Oh, it's Judy, Tim.
Hey, Judy. How are you doing?
Doing good. We got lots of
you packing?
Yeah, that's what I'm doing, but I'm taking a break and listening to this.
Awesome. So you got a lot of snow?
We're getting it. It's blowing, and it's not really good. And tomorrow I have to, so I was going to ask one thing, is to for safe traveling, because I have to go down to Indianapolis tomorrow, and then I won't leave there till Monday morning, so everything ought to be pretty good by then, but tomorrow's not going to be a good driving day. So I am asking prayer for that, but I'm asking prayer for me and my daughter. My neighbor talked to me the other day, and she thinks that Amy is doing something, which she doesn't know, but she thinks she's selling drugs. I talked to her. I told her, I looked her in the eye, and I said, you tell me the truth. I want to know. I have to know. She said no. And I honestly and truly do not know. But, so I'm taking it to the Lord to ask him, what should I do? You know, but he's definitely making me a lot stronger, because before I couldn't even talk about it without crying, but I'm doing a lot better. But I know I need to be stronger, and I'm an awfully good enabler, and I don't want to do that anymore. So I got to stand on my own feet, and I got to be firm with my family. They're old enough now that I shouldn't be there for them like I am too much. So I'm asking prayer for both of us, and that she does supposed to be getting a job for tomorrow, and that she does get a job tomorrow, and that the Lord tells me what to do in this situation. So, dear Heavenly Father, I thank you so very much for helping me to become stronger, and I'm turning this over to you because I really don't know what to do, and I just don't know. You know, I'm praying that she isn't and didn't, but I honestly, truly do not know, because my neighbor was pretty insistent. And Lord, I just need a good work done on her, and just to make me stronger. And Lord, please let her get this job that she's supposed to have tomorrow. Maybe that'll, I was worried that she would be pressured, that when I leave she has to start standing up on her own and make her own, pay her own way and stuff. And she really needs this, Lord. So please give her this job and do your work in it. Whatever is your will, Lord, it's your will. I want that to be done. So I thank you, Lord, and I'm resting in your will, and I thank you so much for everything you're doing, Lord. Thank you. And I thank you for safe travel tomorrow and Monday. Thank you, Lord, so much for everything. I appreciate you, Tim.
Well, Father, we just thank you for Amy, Lord. And right now, we don't know what she's up to or if she is even selling drugs. There's only one witness. And, you know, right now, it's just hearsay, Lord. But you know what's going on. And, Lord, we just ask right now if there's any foul play there, that you just put a conviction in Amy's heart. You just convict her. And, you know, for any ways that she's erring, you know, from you, Lord, or, you know, walking in disobedience or walking in the flesh, Lord, we just thank you for just working in her, Lord. We just pray that, you know, she'll, you know, does Amy know the Lord, Judy?
Pardon?
Does Amy know the Lord?
Well, just from me talking and stuff, but not really.
Okay. All right. So, Father, we just pray for her salvation, Lord, that you'll bring her to a place where she'll, you know, she'll just, a place of weakness where she'll cry out to you and, you know, see your power in her life, Lord. So we pray for salvation, that she, you know, we pray just household salvation for Judy's family, and that Amy will come into the truth. And we just thank you for that, Lord. And Father, we just pray just traveling mercies over Judy, that you'll just clear the roads ahead of her, that there'll be no issues with traffic, there'll be no issues with ice or snow or anything like that. You'll just give her favor with the time and favor with traffic, and that her trip down here will be blessed. And we just ask you just put her in the rest. Whatever she's, you know, she knows she's been enabling her daughter, and she doesn't want to do that. And just show her what the fear is, what the thought is, what the lies are, and help her to get free and get her eyes on you, and just allow her to rest in this situation and be at rest while she's in Tennessee. So, Lord, we just thank you for that. Thank you for your peace and grace over her in Jesus' name. Amen.
Thank you, Father. Thank you. Also, I mentioned that I believe the Lord's wanted me to tell everybody that I have this house in Tennessee, and it has two bedrooms. Right now it only has one bedroom suite, but he's going to try to get another one. But I wanted everybody to know that anybody that wants to come down to Tennessee, they're welcome for this other bedroom. I mean, don't not come because you don't have a place to stay. I have this bedroom, and so anybody's welcome to stay with me. You know, I just want it to be open for anybody that can come down.
Amen. Thank you, Lord. Yeah, if anybody, you know, if anybody does want to come in for a pot blessing or that, just get a hold of Robin, and, you know, if you need a place to stay, there's opportunities and stuff like that. There's, you know, open bedrooms and that. So, but anybody's welcome to come down. Were you going to say something, Michael?
Well, I just wanted to say that just same thing you did is that you have to go through Robin now. Yeah, she's the administrator and she knows all the empty things, and just give her a call and she'll make the arrangements.
Amen.
I'll also let her know what I just said, you know, that that bedroom is available for anybody that would need it.
Okay. Yeah, if I see her, you know, when you get down here, just let her know as far as that. So, okay, anybody else have any prayer requests, anything they'd like to pray about?
I need prayer. This is Jackie.
Hey, Jackie.
Hey, I've been fighting and standing against a spirit of infirmity for a couple of weeks on and off. I keep getting attacked with a fever, and I rebuke it and like flu-like symptoms. And yesterday I got attacked pretty heavily in the morning with some other things, and then since then I've just felt sick as a dog. I just keep standing against it and rebuking it, but it's getting a lot worse, and I was just wondering if you could please pray over me.
Amen. Well, let's just put all our faith together. I see.
Linda Weaver. Yeah.
Okay. Just wondering where that was going, bro. So, all right, let's put our faith together for Jackie. So, Father, right now, we just take authority over these infirmities that are trying to, you know, attack Jackie. We just rebuke that fever in the name of Jesus. We rebuke flu symptoms, headaches, whatever she's dealing with. We just come against them now. We command them to get off her in the name of Jesus. Infirmities, you go in Jesus' name. You get off of Jackie. You loose her now, and you go in the name of Jesus. We forbid these false symptoms, and we forbid this manifestation in the name of Jesus. So we just command, Jackie, you are healed in Jesus' name. Amen.
Amen. Thank you, Lord.
Amen. This stuff has to go because I don't want it. Thank you, brother.
Bless you, Jackie.
Questions.
Okay. Anybody else want to pray for somebody or...
Yeah, I do.
Okay.
Father, in the name of Jesus, Lord, I thank you that you've given us these people here to pray with us and couple their faith with us, Lord, and I thank you for that. In the name of Jesus right now, Lord, I praise you for the work you're doing in Blake. I ask, Lord, that you steer him, you guide him, and you correct him when it's needed, Lord. And I thank you, Lord, that all these things that has transpired here in the last week or so, that it's been directed by you. I've put my rest in you, Lord. I know sometimes that things don't look like they're headed that way. But, Lord, I know that you told me that he's going. So I praise you, Father, and I thank you that you've got Blake already situated, and he's going to go up there, and he's going to get rid of this addiction problem, and he's going to make new friends. He's going to make a friend of you, Lord, and I thank you for that. I thank you for drawing him to you, Lord, and granting repentance to him, Lord, and teaching him the word in the name of Jesus. And I praise you for what you're doing in Blake and all the young men that are up there in the name of Jesus. Thank you, Lord. Amen.
Amen. We thank you for working in Blake's life, Lord. Just continue to draw him. Continue to just give him a hunger for your word, a hunger for your truth. And whatever this, we just rebuke this addiction, this addictive spirit. We come against any rejection. We bind and rebuke that spirit in the name of Jesus. And whatever hurt he's trying to, you know, cover up with the drugs and running away from the law, we just command that to be exposed, that demon to be exposed, that lie to be exposed, and the truth will set him free. And we just claim that in Jesus' name. We just thank you for setting him free from that bondage in the name of Jesus. Amen.
Amen. Thank you, Lord.
All right. Who else? Does anybody have anybody on their heart or anybody they want to pray for or anything going on in their lives that they need prayer for? Anybody want to shine the light on the enemy, expose a lie they're dealing with or, you know, anything like that? Now's the time.
You know, I'd like everybody to know that the enemy has no power against God's people. He has none. And all we have to do is exert that authority that he's given us. And not only that, we have power over all the enemy. And the enemy is everything that comes against us, right? It's the curse, it's the flesh, it's the world, it's whatever's coming against you. So I would just exhort every one of you to exert it. I'll get it out here in a minute. Utilize that authority that God has given you and help each other, all of us together, can utilize this faith thing that God has. And man, those angels will go to town and they will clean house. I'm telling you, they will clean house. We got some big, great big angels out there. All they're waiting on is for us to pray and believe. And when we pray and we believe and we start talking, and that's acting on that faith with the Word of God, we're going to see victory. I mean, there ain't no way you can't see victory, because God's Word is true. God's Word is true. I'm telling you, I just got through listening today. I wasn't able to listen to a whole lot of it, but what I did listen to, it just jumped my faith up about 100 notches. And that was Roland Buck talking about angels, and they would come down and see him, and he talked to Gabriel a lot, and he talked to the one that I listened to, talked to a warrior angel called Creoni. And this dude was big. I mean, he was big. And he was able to sit down, and they were able to converse, and he told him some stories. He was with Joshua. He told him, he said, I was with Joshua when we went out there and pushed down the walls. He said, we didn't knock them down. We pushed them down in the ground. They pushed them straight down. And he said it was just flat, where all Joshua and his people had to do was just go right through there. If they'd knocked them down, those things were 40 foot wide and 40 foot tall. They wouldn't have done any good just to knock them down. They pushed them down, and archaeology has proven that that's what happened. So the angels are already at it. And another thing that he told them, you know, he said, you know, if what we do is we go to battle before y'all ever know that there's a battle there. Most of the time, he said, if we had to wait on the humans to pray most of the time, he said, they'd already be attacking the underground. He said, but we're out there on the forefront, because the Holy Spirit, who is omnipresent, omniscient, and he knows all, he's doing everything, he's listening to everything that goes on. And he sends out these, he'll tell these angels where to go and what the battle is. And he said, it's just amazing listening to that kind of thing, because we don't, and we're not to lift up the angels, because God's the one that's doing it. God gave them the power to do it. And he said, one another thing he's talking about, and there's a lot more, but I'm just going to hit on a couple of things here, just to let you know that we got big angels out there working for us. They're not working against us. They're working for us. And you know what he said? He said, when God kicked, when God kicked Satan out of the third heaven, he kicked him out. He took his sword away. He said, it doesn't need it anymore, because God's people's got all the power. He don't need a sword. He can't use a sword. God took that power away from him. So here we are. All he can do is sit up there and bark, unless we let him. That's all he can do. He can just sit up there and bark like a dog. I'm going to do this. I'm going to do that. But here's another thing that the angel told Roland. He said, everything that comes out of Satan's mouth is a lie. He said, it's a lie. You can count on it 100%. He said, and all his dominion are liars. He's a lie, and he's the father of all lies. So if you hear something that says, goes against the word, well, you're sick. You've got to go late. You've got this, or you've got that. It's a lie. That's Satan. I'm telling you, it's a lie, because the word says different, doesn't it? It says different. So I'm telling you this to let you know that Satan has no power whatsoever over us unless we give it to him, because God said, when God says it, it's true. It is so true. We don't have to take anything from the enemy. We don't have to. And that's why we need to rest in the knowledge that God's working. We still need to pray. And it's necessary to pray. But most of the time, the battle has already been taken care of by the angels. But we still need to pray. And praise God. Once you pray, you need to go ahead and praise God. He covets our praises and our worship to him and our thanks to him. People don't realize how much God really, really loves us. And he doesn't allow these things that we do against him, hurt him anymore. He doesn't hurt him. He loves you in spite of all the things that we've done against him. And so I just exhort you to understand where your authority lies in the kingdom. It's over Satan. He's under your feet, just like he was under Jesus's feet. You walk just like Jesus in this world, because we're not of this world. We're of the kingdom of heaven, the kingdom of God. And when you're of the kingdom of God, you've got all the power and blessings of heaven behind you. Once we get that, guess what happened? The devil has no power. We take it away from him. In fact, God's already told us to take it away from him. Ain't no need in letting him mess with our lives, for goodness sake. He's just a little old weakling. I remember when David was talking about, he had a dream or a vision of this devil that was great big, and he would say bigger, bigger, bigger. And David said, no, little, or smaller, smaller, smaller. And the devil would get smaller until he just went away. And that's the way we ought to be. We ought to be coming against these things. That's why when we pray, just go ahead and believe and rest in the knowledge that those angels, because of what God's told them, has already taken care of business. Amen.
Amen. That's so true, because the enemy is just constantly trying to get us. We have to give that authority to him, and we give it to him by what comes out of our mouth, what we confess, what we speak, what we curse ourselves. He may put thoughts in, but what he's trying to do is to get us into doubt and fear is probably the two biggest tactics he uses. If he can get us fearful or get us into doubt or get us to confess the bad report, then he's got free reign. If he can get us into sin, into unforgiveness, judging, anything like that, we're turned over. And we fall out of our authority and just give it over to the enemy. So that's good, Michael. Yes, Michael Montana.
Can you hear me?
I can hear you.
Would you make sure that everyone is muted? And I just, what Michael shared is something that's just kind of like a leading up to something. Angie and I have been going through a real strong dealing in the last few days, and it came to a head just yesterday, and we recognized something that really I think is a critical issue. And if I may share for a few minutes here, a couple minutes, is that okay?
Certainly.
Well, first of all, we've been very interested in deliverance for a long time, and we ministered deliverance to some people, and we know that everybody needs deliverance. At least I haven't met anybody that for 10 generations has holy people on both sides of their family and then haven't opened the door in any way. And I think everybody needs deliverance, and I think it's it says in the Word, it's the children's bread to have deliverance. And it's also, these signs follow them that believe, you know. In my name, they cast out devils. It's number one on the list there. And but I tell you what happened with us is we got interested. We began to, we had a pretty kind of a little library, almost a collection of deliverance manuals and all of this stuff, you know, and we'd read the testimonies of all these different men from all over the country. And we even went to a couple conferences. One of them was strictly deliverance. Another one, they were into it pretty good. But I started noticing something, and it concerned me. And that was that with many of these deliverance ministers, I saw what I came at, and I said, these people have an inordinate focus on the devil and on all of his works, on the families of devils, on every demon's name, on stories. And it was, the focus was the devil. And there was, I started seeing this, and it concerned me. And I said, I think these people are out of balance. I don't think this is right. I do believe these signs follow them that believe, and it's one of the byproducts of going out and ministering to the gospel or helping set the captives free. But I said, there's something not healthy here. Well, anyway, we got this manual that we ordered on witchcraft from a so-called deliverance minister. And we started having some strange reactions around our household here, and started seeing, you know, trouble with between us, and trouble and oppression and stuff. We're going, what's going on? Well, it finally came to a head, and we saw it for what it is. And I really believe that the Lord brought something out of it that I think needs to be focused on. First of all, in the book, you look in the Garden of Eden, and there was the tree of the knowledge evil. And the Lord, when you eat this tree, the fruit of this tree, you're going to die. There was the tree of life in the garden, but there was the tree of the knowledge of good and evil. And I believe that most of what people are feeding on in the church today is the knowledge of good and evil. It's not, Jesus said, my words are spirit and they are life. And he says, as we said the other day, the carnal mind of the natural man doesn't receive of the things of the Spirit of God. They're foolishness to him. Neither can he know them except they be spiritually discerned. The words of Christ are life. If you look at the Son of God, there's many scriptures about Jesus being life. It says, in him was life, and the life was the light of men. And the life was manifested, and we beheld the glory as of the only begotten of the Father, full of grace and truth. I am the way, the truth, and the life. Except you eat body and drink my blood, you have no life in you. He said, you search the scriptures, for in them you think you have eternal life, yet they testify of me, you won't come to me, that you may have life. The law of the Spirit of life that is in Christ Jesus frees us from the law of sin and death. I think in the book of John, 42 times the word life is used. It really focuses a lot on Christ being, as it were, the tree of life. What I want to point out here, you know, you look in the third chapter of, I think it's 2 Corinthians 3, 17 or 18, but it says that we all, beholding with open face as through a glass, the glory of the Lord, were changed into that image from glory to glory. Now, a man years ago taught something, and it stuck with me. He said, a man's emotional focus is what he becomes. If he, for instance, a person that dwells on bitterness, they're bitter against their father, and they have bitterness, the day will come, somebody will say to them, you're just like your dad, because they have become that thing that they have dwelt on continually. And the thing that I saw happening with many, where there's a great temptation, and I believe that's a Trojan horse right now, to get access of the enemy into the people of God. And we've got to be extremely careful, both with the secular news that we're looking at, and with focusing on the enemy. And I'll tell you why I believe this. The Lord says in his word, what I was saying about the emotional focus, if you dwell on Christ, it says, as we behold him through a glass darkly, we're changed into that image. And if your focus is on the enemy, the reproduction that takes place in your soul is going to be that of darkness. I saw that happening in our own hearts at times. I have had times when I was on too much of a focus on what's, I knew all about the world banking systems. I knew about, and I think that there's a point we maybe need to be exposed to that, but we've got to be extremely careful, because when Joshua and Caleb, I think I want to read this to you, Numbers 14, but there's something he said right there. Okay, Numbers 14, verse 6. Joshua, the son of Nun, and Caleb, the son of Jephthah, or whatever, Jephthah, which were of them that searched out the land, rent their clothes, spake unto all the company of the children of Israel, saying, the land which we passed through to search it, it's an exceedingly good land. And if the Lord delight in us, then will he bring us into this land and give it to us, a land which flows with milk and honey. Only rebel not against the Lord, neither fear the people of the land. They're bread for us. Their defense is departed from them. And the Lord is with us. Fear them not. And the congregation bade stone them with stones. The point I want to make is, what do you think Caleb and Joshua were doing when they were examining the land? They went to spy out the land. I can tell you a scripture that brings out very good. First, that one there that says that Joshua said, it's an exceedingly good land. And when Caleb, 40 years later, entered the land, he says, when I was here 40 years ago, the Lord promised me this mountain. So what I'm saying is, these people were focusing on their inheritance. They had their eyes on the good land. They were looking at, wow, man, Caleb said, this mountain, Lord? And the Lord gave him that assurance, that's your mountain, I'm going to give it to you. And they had iron chariots, these guys did. And later on, when it came time, and Joshua, he said to Caleb, he said, the Lord gave me this mountain when I was here. And it was full of iron chariots, and now he's 85 years old. He said, I'm not any weaker than I was 40 years ago. He's 85 years old. And he says, can I have it? He says, you want some help going up? He said, I don't need it. He said, I'll take it. He went up and did, because the Lord was with him, and he walked in that faith, and the angel of the Lord fought for him. But what I'm saying is that these other men were focusing on the giant, and they were so focused on the strength. They came back going, these men have iron chariots, and they have walled cities, and the height of their stature is so great. We're like grasshoppers in their sight. They focused on the giants. They focused on their own inability and their weakness. But I just want to say that there's a scripture, and I want you, this is a very important scripture, and it says this in Romans 15:19. It says this, I would that you be wise concerning good and simple concerning evil. Well, what do you think is that? A wise concerning that which is good and simple. And I'll tell you why. I'm going to read a scripture that I think is very, very critical to this whole thing. You want to understand a little bit about Joshua. First of all, I don't know if you know this, but he was up on the mountain when Moses had his exposure to the Lord. When the Lord passed before him, guess who was on the mountain with him? Joshua was, you can see, because when they came off the mountain with the law, you can read about it in, let me see, it would be, in case you're interested in looking at it, it would be Exodus 32:15. You can read that whole story there. But he came down off the mountain with Moses when Moses was up there meeting with God. Now, the scripture I want to read is in Exodus 33, and this gives you an insight. 8th verse. It came to pass when Moses went out into the tabernacle, that all the people rose up and stood every man at his tent door and looked after Moses until he was gone into the tabernacle. And it came to pass as Moses entered into the tabernacle, the cloudy pillar descended and stood at the door of the tabernacle as the Lord talked with Moses. And all the people saw the cloudy pillar stand at the tabernacle door. And all the people rose up and worshipped every man at his tent door. And the Lord spake to Moses face to face, as a man speaketh to his friend, and he turned again and went into the camp. But his servant Joshua, the son of Nun, a young man, departed not out of the tabernacle. While the Lord was appearing to Moses, speaking to him face to face, guess who was there with him? Guess who was there when the cloudy pillar of the presence of God came down in a pillar, a cloudy pillar, the mighty, awesome splendor and majesty of God? Joshua was there with him. And so you see down the road, when Joshua is facing the giants, he goes, they need bread for us, man. Their defense is departed. Let's go up once and possess this. For he is able to bring us in. He wasn't focused on the giants. He wasn't focused on his own ability. He was focused on the Lord. He was focused on the majesty of God. He had it. He knew the Lord. And what I want to say, says in the scripture, if your eye be single, your whole body will be full of light. But if your eye be evil, your whole body shall be full of darkness. If therefore the light that is in you be darkness, how great is the darkness? And that's in scripture in Matthew, I mean, it's Matthew 6, I think it is. Now it says in, after that scripture, it says, have no fellowship. This is in Ephesians 5. Have no fellowship with the unfruitful works of darkness, but rather reprove them. For it is a shame to even speak of those things done of them in secret. And what do you say? Have no fellowship. Brethren, when you're fellowshipping, how many times have we gotten together and we're chewing the fat about what Obama's doing or what the devil's doing or what they're doing over here? Man, can you believe what they've done here? The Lord says it's not what we're to be focused on. We fellowship in that stuff. He says, don't even, it's a shame to even speak of the things done of them in secret. And what I want to say is that the whole concept, we are not to eat of the tree of the knowledge of good and evil. We're supposed to be eating of the tree of life, which is the person of the Lord Jesus Christ. Because as we dwell, if you'll focus on the enemy, before long, he will enlarge, as Michael was speaking about, the devil will get bigger and bigger in your eyes. Can you believe what this New World Order people are doing? Man, they got iron chariots. They got drones and tanks. They got this and that. Brother, if we're walking in the faith of God, Elijah, you think he would have been intimidated? He said, if I be a man of God, let fire come out of heaven and devour thee and thy 50. And fire came down and devoured them. He wasn't concerned. He knew the Lord when his servant was there with him, and his servant looks out and sees the whole Assyrian army gathered together on the mountainsides like fleas. He goes, Master, what shall we do? Look at this. And all the Elisha said is, Elisha said, Lord, open his eyes. And the Lord opened his eyes, and he saw the chariots of fire and the whole camp and the host of heaven and the angels of the Lord gathered about. And he said, there be more that are for us than they that are against us. And he steps out the door after he had his tea, and he says, Lord, blind them. That was a big prayer. Lord, blind them. But he knew God. He spoke from the faith of Christ. And the whole Assyrian army was blinded. And he walks up to the lead guy and says, who are you looking for? He says, oh, we're looking for this Elijah, the prophet guy. Well, he says, come here, I'll lead you to him. He takes the lead guy's horse, leads the whole Assyrian army by one set of reins, and leads them down to the king of Israel. And the king of Israel says, shall we smite them? He says, no, give them some food and send them home. You know, this man walked with God. And what I'm saying, if you want to deal with the devil, it isn't going to be because you become an expert on the devil. It's good. I'll tell you what, a deliverance manual, Matthew, Mark, Luke, and John. You get your eyes on the power of God. Smith Wigglesworth didn't have any problem with demons. And he didn't have any problem with anything the devil wanted to throw at him, because that man walked with God. He wouldn't even allow anything in his house that wasn't Holy Scripture. If you came in his house with a newspaper, he'd say, take that trash out of the house. He wouldn't have had no TV. He wouldn't have had no internet. He wouldn't have had a cell phone. He had his Bible. That's what he had. But man had faith of God. You'd read John G. Lake. The Lord said, I've given you power over devils. But the man spent fasting, prayer, separation unto the Lord. If we see the Lord, if we encounter the Lord, we don't need, it says in the book of John, that if all the books that should be written of the Lord Jesus, if all that should be told, the world couldn't contain the books. Do we really need to focus deeply on the enemy? I tell you, we need to focus on the Lord Jesus Christ, because if you know the Lord, if the power of the Holy Ghost is upon you, if your focus and your eye is single, the devil will run from you. It says, I hear people misquote this scripture all the time. Resist the devil, he'll flee from you. No, he won't. Submit yourself to God, and then resist the devil, and yes, he will. And that's where we need to be as a people of God. It's time for us. We don't have time to be studying the works of darkness. We don't have time to be, this deliverance manual, I opened it up and the oppression was all over it. They were describing every witchcraft practice in the world, whether it be voodoos or whether the ones in Hindu or Haiti, the Hindus, and all, they went into all the gory detail. I looked at that thing, what do we need to look at this for? I don't need to know what the devil's doing. I don't need to know what these wicked people are doing to other people and to women and what happened to them. I'm telling you what, no, I don't. I'll tell you what I need to know. I need to know the living God. I need to know him in the power of his resurrection and the fellowship of his suffering. I need to be in such a place where the glory of God can rest upon us, where we can stand with that people and say with the Lord Jesus that the prince of this world is cast down but has nothing in me. That we can be in that place where the Lord spoke and he said, the Spirit of the Lord is upon me, for he hath anointed me to preach good tidings to the meek, to bind the brokenhearted, to proclaim liberty to the captives, the recovery of sight to them that are blind, to deliver those that are oppressed and those that are bruised, and to proclaim the acceptable year of the Lord, to give him beauty for ashes, the oil of joy for mourning, the garment of praise for a spirit of heaviness. Because if we're walking with Christ, if our focus is on Christ, and we don't get drugged down by examining the giants and examining what the devil's doing, what we really need to know is, what is the Lord doing? What is the word of the Lord? One man. You look at one man. Elijah walks up with a man. Obviously, this man had history with God, because the first thing you see in the scriptures, now Elisha the Tishbite, whoever this guy was, walks up to King Ahab and says, there shall no rain fall on this earth but by my word. And walks off into the desert, and they go, this guy's a nutcake. What is this? Wait, you know? But 3 years later, they're hunting for this guy everywhere, because there was no rain on the earth. There was nothing for the cattle. There was no water. There was nothing. But this man, when he finally stood on Mount Carmel, he says, and now, Lord God, let this people know that you are God alone, and that they have forsaken thee and served other gods, and that I am thy servant, and have done all of these things according to thy command. He knew the word of the Lord. The Lord, he didn't have a good idea. Let's all just see who called fire out of heaven. He had a word from the Lord. He went up there with the word of the Lord. He had rhema. He had the word of God. This is what I'm going to do. You step in here and be the vessel. I'm going to do this. And 850 prophets died that day by his sword. 850 false prophets. This is a time, brothers and sisters, if we examine the giants, we're burger. I'm going to give you a word. You examine the giants in this hour, because there's going to be stuff that's come our way, brother. We need to be able to look down the barrel of a UN tank and say, you have no power whatsoever against me unless it's given of my Father in heaven. We need to look at the 18-foot tall giant and go, hey, in the name of Jesus Christ, I rebuke you. I bind you in Jesus' name and cast your carcass to the ground. We need to have that kind of faith. We can look at the mountains slipping into the sea, as it says in Psalm 46. It says, God is our refuge and our strength, a very present help in trouble. Therefore, we will not fear though the earth should be removed, though the mountains should slip into the midst of the sea, though the waters thereof roar and be troubled, though the mountains shake with the swelling thereof. For there is a river, the streams whereof shall make glad the city of God, the holy place of the tabernacle of the Most High. God is in the midst of her. She will not be moved. God will help her, and that right early. The heathen raged. The kingdoms were moved. He utters his voice, and the earth melts. The Lord of hosts is with us. The God of Jacob is our refuge. Selah. Come behold the works of the Lord. What desolations he hath made in the earth. He maketh wars to cease to the ends of the earth. He breaketh the bow, cutteth the spear in sunder, burneth the chariot in the fire. Be still and know that I am God. I will be exalted among the heathen. I will be exalted in the earth. The Lord of hosts is with us. The God of Jacob is our refuge. When Jesus faced the devil, he said, it is written. It is written. We need to know the word. We need to take our time and focus on the word of God. We need to put key chapters, key verses in our heart that apply to the battle we're in. We need to pull out of our arsenal the sword of the Spirit, which is the word of God, and the faith of God that is a shield of faith, and take that sword, and I tell you what, there's not a devil that can stand. Those five smooth small stones that David pulled out of the brook. When Saul said, here, put this armor of mine on. He puts this stuff on and he goes, I haven't proven these things. But I'll tell you, he took those five smooth small stones, and that man knew about a sling. And it didn't take him six shots. It took him one. Drilled that guy between the eyes, and the anointing of the Lord was upon him. But the faith of Christ was there. And take those things, make that word so real in your heart, that you've proven these things. You can take those small stones. One verse, Smith Wigglesworth, he gave his life. Some of these men, he could take one verse and stand on it, raise the dead. That man had the faith of Christ, and it took one verse of Scripture. He didn't need a barrage of books on 10 steps to sonship. All he needed to do is to have the faith of Christ mixed with the word of God and stand against the wiles of the devil. We can't look at the enemy in this time. We've got to get our eyes on the Lord Jesus. The Word of God has got to be our focus. Our eye must be single, and with all of our heart, be very cautious. And if you're going to examine the news that's going on, be careful with it, because don't let that focus get to a point where you start examining the giants and looking at your own sufficiency. We need to be so thoroughly in the Spirit of God, so thoroughly engrossed in the Scriptures of God, so thoroughly filled with the faith of Christ and the life of Christ, that when we look at these giants, we say, they be bread for us. The defense is departed. Let's go at once and possess this land, for He is able to bring us in.
Whoa. That was awesome. That's a good word there. Thank you, Michael. That just, when you're sharing that, it's so true, because, we can get pulled into, Steve Quayle and Rush Limbaugh and, Glenn Beck and, all this stuff. Most of the stuff on the internet's, most of it's just all propaganda. And we can get, pulled into that, get pulled into fear, get pulled into, be manipulated by the enemy. And that's a powerful word. Is what are we focused in on? Are we focused in on the Word of God? Are we focused in? Because I saw, when you were sharing that, I saw in our life that when we first came to the Lord, we were dealing with some, basically when we got married, after about a year being married, we were already in divorce court. And part of the problem was our flesh. It was drinking, with me, and it was television. I had my television in the kitchen, and Trish had her television, and we were just, that would just kind of separate us. And we came to the Lord, and at one point we realized that we need to get rid of this television. And we, that was 20 years ago. We got rid of that television. And people used to call me up trying to sell me cable and all this stuff. And I said, I don't own a television. And I mean, it would be dead silence on the other end of the phone. And it was like, well, how do you get your news? And, I would just kind of joke with them and say, well, if things get bad enough, somebody's going to tell me. And we need to have that same attitude. If things get bad enough, the Lord is going to tell us. And then I remember that we did have a television, but we really didn't have cable or anything like that. But when 9/11 hit, we got sucked into that television. We didn't leave that television for a couple of days, when that whole 9/11 thing was going on. And when the tribulation starts, we don't need to be sucked into the internet and sucked into, just all this fear and, everything going on. We need to get, press into the Lord and get our marching orders, as far as where, what's, when we see things starting to happen, that's where we need to be. And, but yeah, I can see, cause I've known a lot of Christians and everybody kind of goes through that where they start getting all the books on just, deliverance and just all the manuals that are out there and the how to's and, all this stuff. It's all the works and stuff like that. And most of that is all man. I mean, there's truth in there, but it's all man. But we have what we need in the Word. The Word is really what all we need. And so that's an awesome thing. And I just, I rarely go into a Christian bookstore, but if I need to buy a Bible for somebody or something like that, our boys, we're going off to camp and we want to get them some waterproof Bibles or some pocket Bibles. And you go in there and you just see the multi-millions of books and just, everybody's got their own Bible and all the different books and all the Christian, all these celebrities and all this. And it's just, most of that's all fables. It's just, it's all, lifting up the flesh and, 10 steps to this and all that. So, Michael, thank you for sharing that. That was just, That was awesome. Thank you, brother. Michael?
I just wanted to say one thing. We burnt a bunch of deliverance manuals last night at our house. And another thing is that I'm just always convicted. A young man that we just heard of, a young man the other day, he was saved under Wilkerson's ministry and went to Wilkerson's Bible school. And just a few short years ago, now he's in India, and he's memorized the whole New Testament. And I think that the thing that's challenging to all of us is all of the 12-year-olds in the Muslim countries have to memorize all 114 chapters of the Quran writings and of all the Muslim books before they can be confirmed at 12 years old as a man. And it should be a conviction in our own heart that we don't get more devoted to these things.
Amen. Michael Hare, were you going to say something?
Well, the only thing I was going to say is, I know about all the deliverance books, and I don't know about them. I mean, I've seen those things, and what comes to my mind every time that I see one of those is, what's wrong with the way Jesus did it, you know? I'm not criticizing anybody for buying those books. I'm sure it's a good guide. Only one I think I ever, and I didn't buy it, Paul gave it to me, and it was Pigs in the Parlor. But when you stand on the authority that God's given you in Luke chapter 10 and verse 19, when it says all the power of the enemy is subject to you, and I'm just paraphrasing, is subject to God's people. So when you stand in that authority and you say, come out, there ain't nothing for them to do but to come out because you're believing. When you speak with authority to the enemy, he's got to obey because the Christ in you is way above him. And just like Jesus went through there and delivered the guy that had the 12 legions of deals, he just spoke the word and they had to go. As a matter of fact, they said, well, hey, look, don't send us on out the country. Let us go in them pigs over there. He said, okay, go in them pig, but you got to go. And out he went. And then and the Lord made a preacher out of that man that had been tormented and tormenting the people around him. He just set him free, just like it, with a spoken word. And that's the authority that God's given each one of us, is the spoken word. That's it. And just understand what your authority is. Hey, them devils has got to go. I've awakened at night a few times, and Michael was hitting on it there with my room. You know, the other night, just a few days ago, I had two big demons standing over me, and they were trying to talk to one another. I couldn't understand what they were saying. I said, "You got to go in Jesus' name," and they went. They had to go. They just poof, out they went. But now, fear came on me at first, and I said, no, in the name of Jesus, both of you go, in Jesus' name. Out they went. I don't know where they went, but they went away from me, and praise God for that. But that's the authority that God's given each one of us, all of us, every one of us. Fear comes on you, that's a demon. Sickness comes on you, that's a demon. Anything that goes against God's word is demonically most generally is demonically inclined. All you have to do is exert your authority in Christ over those situations, even the situations you, just like Michael was talking about, look in that promised land, look over and forget the demons, forget the giants, forget all of that stuff. Look at the promised land. What's the promised land? That's Christ in you, right? That's the Christ in you. When you look at Christ in you. He quoted a great verse in 2 Corinthians chapter 3 and verse 18. Look in that mirror and see Jesus. All the time, look in that mirror. I see Jesus in there. That's Jesus up there. Thank you, Jesus. You're in me and you're working in me. And I have the power of the Lord Jesus Christ in me. You got to believe that. And you will. If you're just like Michael was talking about and Tim was talking about, keep your eyes focused on the Lord. All this other stuff doesn't mean anything to us. We're not of this kingdom. We're the kingdom of heaven. for goodness sake. We don't have to worry about what's going on around us. Psalms 91 is in play wherever we walk. Amen. That's
all right. I was talking away, and I was muted there. So, anyways, I was saying that Trish and I came into the kingdom through deliverance. I mean, that was what opened my eyes, and that I saw what was, you know, that the spiritual realm was real. And Trish was heavily involved in a deliverance ministry, and you know, in the church. And, you know, we were delivered of, you know, all kinds of spirits and many times. And those spirits kept coming back because we didn't have truth. We didn't have truth in us. And Trisha shared her testimony a little bit, but she dealt with fear. I mean, just, you know, amazing fear. And it was actually Sovereign God. The truth set her free. She was in a deliverance ministry and, you know, just went through deliverance, but that spirit of fear was on her for a long time. And when she read the truth about the authority that we have over these spirits and that God created Satan and this, I mean, in all the ministry, she never really understood that God created Satan to chasten us. And there was a purpose behind him. When she understood that, and she understood that, you know, if we're turned over to the tormentors or we're, you know, dealing with something, there's something in us that is allowing that. We've opened the door. And a lot of times in these deliverance ministries, I mean, they're casting spirits out of people. But what's happening is they're not getting filled up with the word. They're not getting any truth in them. And those spirits are coming back. And the word says they'll bring seven of their buddies with them. And so you really, you know, once that house is swept clean, you gotta put the word of God in there. But when we heard David talk about deliverance by faith, you know, and that's, I mean, it's faith is you know, everything is through faith and grace. And just instead of, you know, working and, you know, because those demons will get you into legalism. You know, those books will get you into legalism. Well, if you don't know his name, if you don't call out the certain name of that spirit, then he's got a right to stay. Well, that's not true. You know, you can, whatever the symptom is, you can come against that symptom, but they try to get you into legalism and all that. So, cause they don't want to give up ground, but if you know your authority and stand on that authority and you've searched your heart and, you know, you've forgiven, you've repented, you've, you know, broken the generational curses and all that, they have to go. So that's awesome. So anybody else have any thought on what Michael shared and what we're talking?
I have there was something I was thinking about sharing. And then when all this was brought up, I thought, you know, yeah, I definitely need to share it. And it relates to this. It's about, you know, not looking at the giant, you know, is what it comes down to. Anyway, I think it was like 3 weeks ago now, or I don't remember exactly. It was at least 3 weeks ago. Sunday morning, this assembly that we meet with, there's a sister afterwards that was saying about how she had gotten this flu that's been going around that, I'm not sure exactly which one it was, but it was really horrible. She was saying about how she had such a headache, it felt like there were daggers going into her head, like a pain would be so centralized, different parts of her head, and she's talking about that, and she was better that, she came to the meeting, but even though she wasn't, you know, all better, she felt like she needed to be around, you know, other Christians and stuff. So she came in anyway. She was telling us this, and at one point when, you know, there's just a few of us, you know, talking to her or whatever, and she was saying about, she was talking about how much pain it was and how horrible it was, and she got choked up and started, you know, tears started welling up, and this compassion came over me, and I just felt for her, and then this boldness came over me, you know, and I went to give her a hug, you know, and she says, no, you don't want to do that. I said, it's all right, and I said I'm not afraid. The Lord's going to protect me. I said, the Lord's protecting me. And so I just hugged her, and I prayed for her, and commanded these spirits, not these spirits. I didn't end up put it that way to her, because I just commanded the pain to go and stuff like that. But and I don't think I've seen her. Might have seen her once since then. I don't remember. But anyway, but there was this boldness came over me, and I said to her then afterwards, you know, I said, you know, I've never had the flu. I said, I don't know why other than I give the Lord the credit. I've never had the flu, and I praise and thank the Lord. But, you know, it's just like when I stop and think about that, you know, I'm like, Lord, wow, you're awesome. Lord, here's this horrible flu that's going around. She was given this description of how horrible it was. And you gave me the boldness, the passion and love in my heart, and the boldness to pray for her, you know, and I was just like just stopping and, you know, just thinking about that and everything too while Michael was talking and all, and you know, and it even came to mind earlier thinking about sharing it, but the Lord is so awesome, and yeah, you know, and I didn't get sick, praise the Lord. Lord, you're so awesome, you know.
Amen.
Yeah, but you can't look at the giants. You can't look at the giants, you know? Exactly. Amen. That was really good, Michael. That was a really, really good word. It was really encouraging. And yeah, thanks for sharing that.
Amen. Thanks, Missy. All right, does anybody else have any testimonies they'd like to share? Anything that's on their heart? Well, I'll share something that I've been, I've been in a trial, and for the last, I don't know, probably a week and a half, 2 weeks, you know, I've had a cough, and I've been rebuking it, and, you know, and when you're praying and things aren't happening, and, you know, I basically somewhere you're out of line with God, and that's really where I saw is it just. So I guess my confession is I'm not perfected yet, and I'm just. I found myself. You know, I get into situations, and the enemy's always trying to trip us up with wherever we're weak, and where we're. You know, some things that we've been delivered from of the past is, you know, I was delivered of a critical spirit and rejection, and those things are always trying to come back in, trying to get their foot in the door. And I found that if I get a little bit of critical and, you know, and really it was, you know, right in my own household, I was just getting critical and I was kind of frustrated and a lot of different things. And I'm seeing that the Lord is, I mean, he gives you grace when you're, you know, starting your walk in the Lord. But when you know better, that grace, he just lifts that grace, you know, pretty quick. And I found myself just, you know, basically, you know, turned over to the tormentor, just kind of questioning, you know, what am I doing and a lot of different things. And what happened was, is, you know, you're trying to walk Christ-like, and then you mess up. And that causes, you know, you cause strife or something like that. And what happens is you didn't mean to do it, it wasn't your heart to do it, but you caused, you know, you caused an issue, you caused strife or caused an argument or, you know, whatever the situation is. And with me, what happens is that I tend to fall into condemnation. And because I didn't really want to do that, and, you know, I caused, you know, an issue or whatever it was, and the next thing you know, the enemy's got your eyes on yourself, and you start beating yourself up, and, you know, why did I say that, or why did I do that, or how stupid was I, or, you know, whatever your thoughts, you know, you just allow your thoughts to come over. Because you don't see it as a spirit, you see it as you. You don't see it as a spirit that's trying to bring division or just trying to bring strife. You see it because he used you, that, you know, it was you that did it. And you know, I would get in a situation where I'd get my eyes on myself. And what happens is that when you do that, you're in works. And once you get into works, you're pretty much have fallen out of grace. Your eyes are on yourself, and without grace, we can't walk Christ-like. You know, without grace, we're just our old carnal nature, and we need to walk in faith and speak what the Word says about us. But when we get focused in ourself, we're not speaking what the Word says, we're speaking what our head says. And if we don't walk in grace, or if we don't get grace because we're not speaking faith, because we're in works, I mean, we just, you know, we're just kind of turned over. God just kind of just steps back and let us, you know, wallow in our own little pity party for a while. And so without faith, we don't get God's favor. And I went through this, you know, I was kind of in a trial, and, you know, without that favor, you know, we're basically just flesh. And, you know, we can't do good. We're just a carnal nature, and God's got to do His will through us, and that only comes through grace. So, I just see where the enemy is trying to get us into works, is trying to get us into judgment, is trying to get us into unforgiveness. Whatever he can do to get us out of the race. And he's going to use, you know, the things we've been delivered from, you know, that he's going to come through our weaknesses and, you know, try to get us to a point where we fall out of that grace of God, or we get into unforgiveness and we're turned over to the tormentors, and he gets us off the path. And what I ended up doing was I found myself just in condemnation, and I got into an older Bible study that David did, and, you know, on condemnation. And I'm sure there's others out there that, you know, deal with the same situation. Is everybody's phone muted? I'm hearing a little bit of banging. I'm not sure where it's coming from. But anyways, I was just going to share, you know, something from one of David's teaching about condemnation, and talking about, you know, condemnation gets your eyes on yourself and it separates you from God. Condemnation does have one good use, and that's when you're in willful disobedience. And David talks about that the only time that there is condemnation is when we're in willful disobedience, when we're doing something that we know is wrong and we just do it anyways. And then that's when we're, you know, he just turns us over as far as that. But other than that, if we're if we're doing something that, you know, we don't want to do, it's just our sin nature that's in us. But, you know, if we don't get our eyes on the Word, get our eyes on the truth and start speaking the truth, you know, that's, we can slide down this slippery slope of condemnation. And condemnation, you know, tells us that you should have done better. And it's the opposite of, you know, looking at Jesus and what he's already done for us. And, you know, Romans 8 says, there is therefore no condemnation to them that are in Christ Jesus. So when we're under condemnation, basically we receive no power from God to change. And, you know, condemnation is the opposite of faith, because faith gives us grace and grace gives us the benefit. So if we're in condemnation, it's either because we feel justified by our works or we feel not justified by our works. And we have the wrong relationship with God. Instead of a relationship of faith, it's a relationship of self-works. And, you know, sometimes we try to use condemnation to change people and, you know, make them feel bad about themselves. And that really doesn't work. And I knew that, you know, raising up my sons, is that I had to get their eyes on prayer, get their eyes on what the Word says, what God had done for them, and not just, you know, keep rubbing their nose in it. And because, you know, the demons are good at that. So, you know, if we want people to change, the only thing that'll work is putting faith in the person, getting their eyes on faith, and getting faith in their hearts. Because condemnation will get them to, you know, look inwards on their self and not upwards towards the Lord. And, you know, condemnation will cause them to get their eyes off the serpent on the pole and back on the snake bite. You know, what they did wrong, you know, whatever that, you know, the snake bite is. And the only thing that they'll ever have is the curse if they're constantly looking at the snake bite. So if we put faith in a person's heart, they will have grace and they will have the benefit of the kingdom. So we have to speak encouragements to people, especially when they're in condemnation. And we have to speak the promises. We have to speak the Word of God and help them to see what Christ has done for them. And once they accept that they are righteous in Christ because they're justified through faith, then they can receive the benefits as a free gift, you know, from the Lord. For the law of the Spirit of life in Christ Jesus made me free from the law of sin and death. So Jesus is the solution. He's already given us the benefit. In Galatians it says, yet knowing that a man is not justified by works of the law, but through faith in Jesus Christ, even we believe on Christ Jesus that we might be justified by faith in Christ and not by the works of the law, because the works of the law shall no flesh be justified. And most people are, you know, a lot of people are seeking to be justified by various types of self-works, and those works will just get us in trouble. And, you know, we talk about people that, you know, think that if they don't go to the doctor, they give up medicine, that God's going to heal them. And, you know, that's, you know, basically getting the cart before the horse. That's, you know, justification by their works. what you're saying is, you know, God, you know, will give the grace because of your works, but he's not going to do that. It is, you know, it is by faith, knowing that you've already been healed, and not saying that if I do this, then God's going to heal me. Or, you know, we do a lot of different things that, you know, that we don't have the faith, and we think that if we work something that we're going to get an answer. And sometimes that's why we don't get an answer, because we're in works. You know, sometimes we don't believe that God has healed our eyes. We just think if we throw away the glasses, then, you know, then we'll manifest the healing. But in our heart, we've got doubt or whatever it is. And, you know, so we just can't be in any type of works. And that's, and the enemy's good at trying to get us into works, because he knows that, you know, if we're in works, there's no grace. And, you know, works is, you know, before faith. So, James 2, it says, thou seest that faith wrought with his works, and by works was faith made perfect. The works he's talking about is, you know, the works of faith after faith. And Philippians says, for it is God who worketh in you both to will and to work for his good pleasure. That's God's works in you, not your works. And Ephesians says, for by grace have you been saved through faith, and that's not of yourself, it's the gift of God, not of works or your works, that no man shall glory. For we are his workmanship, created in Christ Jesus for good works, which God afore prepared that we should walk in them. So these are his works, because you are in him. And Philippians 2 says, for it is God who worketh in you. So it's God working in you, and that's grace, both to will and to work for his good pleasure. And that's really the real salvation, is God working to will for his good pleasure. And Galatians 3 says, for as many as are of the works of the law are under a curse. So we can put ourselves under the curse of the law if we're in, you know, if we put ourselves under the law. And that's, you know, I shared a, you know, a few nights ago, as far as where I'd put myself, because I didn't have the knowledge of tithing. And I was listening to what the church was saying, and I kept giving and giving and giving, and I found myself farther and farther in debt, thinking that God was going to bless me. And it wasn't until I came out from under that law and came out from under, you know, and walked away from that and started walking in faith, and understood that I was in works, and there was no way I was going to be blessed, because I was giving to get. And when I started to walk in faith is when God started to bless me. And it says, for as many are of the works of the law are under a curse, for it is written, curses everyone who continueth not in all things that are written in the book of the law to do them. So once you're under the, you know, the curse of the law, you got to do everything in there. And that's just impossible, because of our fallen nature won't permit us, you know, to do everything that's in there. So we need grace, and we need unmerited favor from God to make us into something that we're not. You can only do what you are, so God has to make you into something else, and only faith brings that grace for that. So without grace, man, we're just who we are. He goes on and says, now that no man is justified by the law before God is evident, for the righteous shall live by faith. And that's the only way to have God's life, And that life is to live by faith. And that life is a free gift from God through faith. And he just doesn't give it to just anybody. He only gives that gift to people who believe. And that's the condition. And Matthew 9 says, according to your faith be it done unto you. As thou hast believed, so it be done unto thee. So if a person doesn't believe, they won't receive. And will typically go into self-works and die under the curse. It says the righteous shall live by or from faith. And Galatians 3 and 12 says, and the law is not of faith. So there's no law that man can put you under to make you righteous. It's only faith. But he that doeth them shall live in them. Christ redeemed us from the curse of the law, having become a curse for us. So if we walk by faith, God will give us grace, and the grace will cause the law to be fulfilled in us. Fulfilling the law is not the same as being under the law. To be under the law is to be under a curse. So he goes on to say, for as many as are of the works of the law are under a curse. For it is written, cursed is everyone who continueth not in all the things that are written in the book of the law to do them. So he shows us that the law is the letter, and it's a parable, and only the Spirit fulfills the letter. It is being fulfilled in spirit in you who walk by faith. So the fulfillment is only in spirit. It says that, yea, I testify again to every man that receives circumcision, which is of the law, that he is a debtor to do the whole law. Ye are served from Christ, ye who would be justified by the law, or by the works of the law, ye are fallen away from grace. So he's saying that you're severed from Christ because you're seeking your own righteousness, and there has to be repentance and a return to justification by faith. You are fallen away from the grace because there's no other way to get grace except through faith. You have to hold on to faith. For we, through the Spirit, by faith, wait for the hope of righteousness. For in Christ Jesus neither circumcision availeth anything, nor uncircumcision, but faith working through love. For it, the inheritance is of the law. It is no more of promise, but of God has granted it to Abraham by promise. So there's no other way to receive the inheritance other than faith working through love. So he wants us to walk in faith through love and walk in love. James says, what does it profit, my brethren, if a man say he have faith but not works? And these are the works that come from faith, not the works that come before faith. Those are your works that come before faith. When you believe, God gives grace for you to do his works. So the grace comes from God, and he'll give you that grace to do his works. So there's two kinds of faith. There's God's, or the two kinds of works. There's God's works, which are the fruit of faith, and there are your works, which are not acceptable. So if God's works don't come from your faith, then your faith is not his faith. Faith is calling the things that are not as though they were. Faith is believing you have received. And faith that fizzles out at the finish had a flaw in it from the first. It says, yea, a man will say, thou hast faith, and I have works. Show me thy faith apart from thy works, and I by my works will show you thy faith. Thou believest that God is one, thou dost well. The demons also believe and shudder. But wilt thou know, O vain man, that faith apart from works is barren, which is unfruitful? True faith will give you the works of Jesus as a free gift. Was not Abraham our father justified by works, and that he offered up Isaac his son up at the altar? That sees that faith wrought with his works, and by works was faith made perfect. So when you have faith, even before the works are perfect the faith, you are counted righteous. And when you're accounted righteous, then you're entitled to the benefits that grace brings. So faith brings grace, and grace brings the works of God in your life. What do we need to do for people to enable them to overcome? We need to put faith in them, not condemnation. And we put faith in them by speaking the word of God. And Romans says, faith cometh from hearing, and hearing by the word of God. And says, call it these things that are not as though they were. So we can't attribute their failures to them, attribute their stumbling to them. We have to help them take their eyes off themselves and get their eyes on the Lord. Help them to see that he already took away the sinful nature and nailed it to the cross, and now they have his nature. This will cause a person to overcome, putting faith in them and letting that faith bring them to grace so they can change.
Amen. I'd like to add a little bit of something to what I said earlier. And that is, if you're struggling in something, and you need, somebody to pray with you, don't hesitate to call and get somebody to help out. Remember, we talked about this a week or so ago. Don't struggle with something. Go ahead and make that call and get a brother or sister to pray with you. Because one sends to flight 1,000, two sends 10,000. So just don't hesitate to call somebody to help out. They'd be glad to. Most brothers and sisters would be glad to pray with you and to believe with you for the things that have come up and the circumstances that come up in our lives. Sometimes we just get beat down sometimes, and I'm just saying, just call somebody and get them to help out. That's a good word, Tim. Thanks.
Amen. Yeah, that's so true. Sometimes we get this pride in us, and a brother or sister might see us struggling and see that there's something that's off, and they'll come up to us and say, hey, how you doing, or is everything okay? And a lot of times what we do is, oh, yeah, everything's fine. I'm doing great. Just in a little, you might say just in a little trial, but a lot of times you don't expose the enemy, you don't expose the lie, you don't expose what you're dealing with. And, somebody else is, the Lord has sent somebody to come pray with you or come speak truth into you. And that pride in us gets us to a point where, we just cover for the enemy and we don't expose what's going on. And so that's right. If and sometimes when you're in a trial, I just you got to reach out, because especially sometimes you're turned over to the tormentors, you don't really understand why or nothing's going right, and you got to call out somebody and say, hey, I need prayer. I need to bind up these principalities and powers, and I need help right now. I don't know what's going on. Or we need to confess our sins so we can be healed, we can be set free, we can be delivered. And sometimes it takes that. Or maybe it takes somebody that you know, is neutral to a situation to see, you know, where the lie is or where the confusion's coming or where the enemy's got a stronghold. So that's a key point there is just, you know, don't, you know, just ask for help, you know, call out and, you know, get a hold of a brother or get a hold of a sister or someone to pray with you, you know, or, and that's what this conference call is all about. Is if you're dealing with something, you need prayer, let's just, you know, let's expose the enemy and shine some light on it and get some prayer and get some, you know, faith and grace going. Amen.
Amen. Hey, Tim, I was just going to say there's a couple of scriptures. You just mentioned one, but in Galatians 6, it says, and bear you one another's burdens and so fulfill the law of Christ. And it says, the greatest among you being the servant of all. And then the one you quoted out of James 5 when it says, confess your faults one to another and pray for one another that you may be healed, for the effectual fervent prayer of a righteous man avails much. And then he goes into Elisha was a man subject to like passions as we are. And yet he prayed earnestly that it might not rain, and it rained not on the whole earth for a space of 3 years and 6 months. He prayed again, and the heaven gave rain, and the earth brought forth her fruit. One thing that I think we need to understand is that where the Spirit of the Lord is, Scripture says, there is liberty. Whom the Son sets free is free indeed. And like one of the brothers mentioned, maybe it was you, Tim, or Michael, but a minute ago, if we've got oppression and bondages or trouble on every side, there's probably an open door. It's like when Nehemiah was rebuilding the wall, that those where there's a broken down place in the wall, the enemy comes back and forth into our city. And we need to, as the wall came down stone by stone, we need to rebuild those places where the enemy has gotten legal right in our life, because it's God's desire. I've come that they might have life, and that more abundantly. And Jesus Christ wants us walking in victory. Of all people, we should be the most joyful, the most victorious. We have the greatest hope, the greatest promise. We have an advocate with the Father, Jesus the righteous, and he's the propitiation for our sins. He makes intercession for us before the throne of God. We have so much that the world doesn't have, and we need to start seeing clearly and come into the light wherever the door is that's letting the enemy in. Come into the light, get it dealt with, get it shut. Because it's God's desire that you should be more than a conqueror, not just in theology, but in your walk.
Amen. Because it's, you know, most of the time it's not you, it's just stupid demons. It's just we're believing a lie. We're, you know, we've, you know, opened the door somewhere. And sometimes we have fear of man or embarrassment or whatever it is, and we don't want to expose what's going on, and we just allow the enemy to stay there, and we don't get prayer, we don't shine light on it, and he just has a heyday. So it's that's what this body is for, is just, you know, there's power in prayer, man. We just see just amazing miracles that God does, but you know, you got to bring it to the forefront. So, all right. So, is that you, Michael?
Yeah. How do you know that's me?
Somehow you click before you come in. I don't know. So, it's all right. Must be your mute button.
Well, yeah, it's my mute button that's making that sound, I guess. I have a question for everybody. How do you flee from God? You flee to God to flee from God. You might have to think about that for a minute.
Michael, I know how. You act like Jonah.
Well, no, I gave you that.
I'm kidding.
I gave you the answer. You got to flee to God in order to flee from God. Just a little thing there.
Amen.
Brother Tim.
Yes.
This is Kevin Ray.
Hey, Kevin Ray. I was wondering when you were going to jump in here.
Yeah, just
are you being shy tonight?
What's that?
Are you being shy tonight?
Being a little shy, yeah. I just wanted to tell everybody thank you, blessing. We've been wanting to get on the phone calls for a while. You know, the Lord just sets up the right timing. And anyway, I just wanted to kind of just back what you said and just a little bit more of my experiences I've had with dealing with you know, the enemy and so forth. I think, like Michael Montana talked about earlier, he hit it right, nailed it right on the head, and that's it. You know, the distractions with the things in the world. Y'all can pray for me because I've been feeling being pulled back into that. I've already been down that road, got a PhD, got the T-shirt in it and everything. Yet I notice the tactic of the enemy is, for me anyway, it's been distraction. And that can come in many different forms. The stuff that I do for the ministry, the work I do in the ministry and also for college and other things requires me to be online quite a bit. So, you know, there's opportunity there for me to get sidetracked and whatnot. So, anyway, if you all could pray for me on that, I'd really appreciate it. But one tactic I just noticed is you know, just listening about you talking about speaking grace, not condemnation. I think that's probably the study you were referring to that David was going over. One thing I've noticed in this tactic is to always get our eyes on ourselves, get our eyes off of the Lord. I mean, it just seems to be one of the main stratagems in this battle. And so, in going through the roller coaster of condemnation and the merry-go-round we've all gone on, and you know, and like you mentioned, different ways, different weaknesses that the enemy comes in to get us, to pull us down in the mire, and go through that sometimes that pity party to get back out. I've noticed that when I'm hearing the Lord, I hear Him in the Spirit. One thing the enemy doesn't want us to do is to speak boldly, and the Lord's been speaking that to me lately, and so I've been trying to walk and press in more boldly to speak the word, and that's something the enemy's pretty afraid of, because I've noticed quite a bit of hit back or flack coming from the enemy when doing that. So that's something to pray about, is just to be bold in your confession and what the Lord has said. And regardless of what we're seeing, what we're going through, always agree with what the Word says, and that's, let God betray every man a liar, including that old man, the demon. So anyway, I just thought I'd just throw that in there. And also, you mentioned about the cart before the horse. I went through that with my eyes, especially years ago. I threw away my glasses, and this is just me, and I'm not speaking against anybody that's stepping out in faith for their eyes. I'm all with them and on that. But I did it in a legalistic way, and I didn't realize it at the time. So I had to go through quite a bit of trial of that. And the Lord made me realize, look, you know, you just walk in faith, and it's already done, and it will manifest. And he brought me to a testimony that, guy back in Pensacola years ago. Basically, both Dave was talking about, you know, having your eyes healed or whatever, and the guy said, oh, okay, I received that, and just kind of moved on, didn't even think about it. And then, you know, he continued, you know, wearing glasses and contacts or whatever, and then one day he woke up and his eyes were blurry when he put his glasses on. And the Lord reminded me that you need to have faith before, you know, that faith is going to come from Him, and to be careful about falling into legalism. So, I mean, all these things are very much touching me tonight. I really appreciate it. So, anyway, so a couple of things, yeah. For me, if you all could pray for me, because I feel like we're moving into a time where the enemy's trying to pull out a bunch of stops, trying to bring up things that we dealt with in the past, got delivered of, like you mentioned. They're bringing them back to trip us up, to get us to look at ourselves and not see Jesus in the mirror, and not make that eye contact with the Lord and the Spirit. So the one thing is, you know, if you all could pray for me too. The Lord would help me with getting rid of the distractions and pulling away from that, weaning me off that, whatever, and just get my eyes back on Jesus in that case. So, anyway, that's it.
Well, Father, we just thank you. We just lift up Kevin to you, and we just come against the distractions that whatever pulls him into areas that he doesn't need to be in. We just ask you, just give him discernment to discern the ploys of the enemy to pull him in the wrong direction or get him distracted in areas that he doesn't need to be in. And Father, we just thank you for the work that he's doing. We just thank you for just giving him boldness and to speak that boldness, you know, against the principalities and powers. And we just thank you for just giving the wisdom in what he's doing for the ministry. We thank you for, we just bind up the enemy from trying to just whatever it's trying to do to, you know, just to, you know, come against the books and the things that he's working on. And we just forbid that in the name of Jesus. We just call just your covering over him, over Holly. We just thank you that she is healed in Jesus' name. And we just thank you for that manifestation. We just thank you for working in their lives just to perfect them in these days, Lord. And we just, you know, just thank you for just, you know, just blessing him with just time and focus and, you know, and just the joy of the Lord while he's doing your work. And we just thank you in Jesus' name. Amen. Thank you, Lord.
Amen, brother.
All right. Anybody else have anything on their heart before we close out tonight?
Jim, is Joe, yeah?
Yes. Who's this? Hello?
It's Joe from South Africa.
Okay.
Can you hear me?
I can hear you.
Okay.
Go ahead.
Confession. Last night I get from... did get down from work, and me and my wife did get a disagreement about the dog in the house. After we go on, go to our Bible study, and we go to sleep. This morning, 2:30, I woke up, and the mosquitoes was going like bombers on me. I said, no, you haven't got the right to me, and I rebuked them. And it just came to me and says, you opened the door yesterday. I got the right to be here. And I just, it just opened me to say, so quickly before to get into a curse on you.
Amen. The devil's a legalist, man. You don't dot that I or cross that T. He's, you know, he's looking for any opportunity to come in. So have you closed that door?
Yes, the Lord reminds me about that, yeah. It's just so easy thing. Just the last thing, and it's about, we say many blessings to the Lord for giving us the ministry and the outreach. It helps quite a lot just to listen to all the people and all the fun we had and all the prayer we have. Thank you very much, huh?
Well, it's a blessing to have you guys. It's you should come on and give your testimony next week.
I'll do that. Yeah.
Okay, like learn. Just don't know much about you, so if you want to come on next week and just kind of share your story a little bit, so we can get to know you, that'd be awesome.
I'll do that. Just for interest sake, it's Wednesday and Friday mornings for us, 3:00 to 5:00 in the mornings.
3:00 to 5:00. So that's a dedication right there, buddy.
that's a blessing. It's we going away. Lord help us and all we call our trials. Huh?
Amen. Amen. So what, give me your name again.
Joe.
Joe, and what is your wife's name?
Nora.
Nora. Okay, Joe and Nora.
Yeah.
Okay. Well, welcome, Joe and Nora. It's a blessing to have you guys. So, go ahead.
Okay, we talk about next week. No, I'm just talking about Africa, the District of Africa and things.
Okay. Yeah, I can't wait. So, just come in next week and just share your testimony. How's that?
All right. Thanks, Tim.
All right. God bless you.
God bless you.
Bye.
Bye, Nora. Okay, anybody else have any last things before we close out? Awesome. So, Father, we just thank you for another just a wonderful night, Lord. We just thank you for all the word and the truths and the testimonies that you're bringing forth. And we just thank you for that, Lord. And we just ask you just guide us in these days, Lord. Just continue to give us a hunger for your word, a hunger for the truth. Help us to, stay in your word and not get distracted in the world and get distracted in what's going on and get distracted on, just getting our eyes doubled and looking on to evil and we need to just press into you and just give us a hunger for that, Lord. And we just thank you for what this ministry. We thank you for this outreach. We thank you for everybody in here. And we just ask you, Lord, that you just bless everybody. You bless their week this week, Lord, and guide and direct them, Lord, and just show them any stumbling blocks, any idols that are in their lives, so we can, tear down those idols and any areas of deliverance that they need any lies that they're, believing of the enemy, that, that the truth will come forth to them and the truth will set them free. And we just thank you for that, Lord. So, Lord, just bless everybody this week. Just give them just rest and just fill them full of your peace and joy and allow them to just walk as Jesus walked. We thank you in Jesus' name. Amen. Well, good night, everybody. It's been a great night, and we'll see you all next Tuesday.